Oh, shoot. I went to go edit the episode, and we forgot to do an opening.
Oh, but, like, when do you need to upload it?
Like, now? Tonight?
Tonight?
Yeah, edit.
But I thought we had so much time.
It's already Thursday night.
But, okay, no. Okay, so we're, oh, gosh. Okay, let me just rush through this. I can probably think about something.
Okay.
Quirky and quippy and, I don't know, something funny. Like, usually when I'm pressured, when there's a time crunch, I just, like, I can think of something. Like, really quick.
Do you have anything?
I'm trying. I'm thinking about it.
Okay, think faster.
I'm trying to think faster. You're making me think slower. I'm thinking.
Hi, I'm Jaina.
And I'm Sharon.
And together, we're Jazz's Be Gansy,
moving you from antsy to Gansy.
And today,
we're in a rush.
All sorts of rushes.
Lots of rushes.
We've talked about some real-time games in the past mm-hmm. a few times.
Some beat-the-clock games.
And we played a couple more of them this weekend. Mm-hmm. So we decided, I think we played enough to do a top five list.
Yeah.
Ish.
I mean, given, here's the thing about me. I'm not a particularly big fan of cooperative games. And I'm also not a particularly big fan of timed games.
Really? I thought you just don't like playing them with me.
Oh, no. Not necessarily. I think I need to be in, like, a specific mood. To me, a lot of the timed games is more like a party game type thing. I get unnecessarily stressed over it. And oftentimes with timed games, I find that there's some level of dexterity that's mixed into it, which, of course, I'm horrible at hand-eye coordination or fine motor movements, apparently. So that's just not something that I generally gravitate towards. Having said that, the top five list, and I did veto one thing off of, you know, the list, but our top five list are games that I do find joy in. So that says a lot, in my opinion.
Knowing that now, we might have an awkward conversation about a Kickstarter that you may not know that I backed.
How do I not? What? When did you back this? I thought you were in a competition.
Yeah, I backed it in December.
See, and this is why, this is why we really should go to couples counseling instead of doing this podcast. I don't think this is
I thought
helpful.
This is our couples counseling.
I guess we're just talking.
You're a therapist.
Stuff. Yeah.
We're okay. A couple. We're talking.
Uh-huh.
I think that's the definition, right?
What did you back?
It's called Fit to Print.
Okay, well, since you're talk about that now, then.
What's okay, so I'm super excited about this.
Gosh.
In Fit to Print, you are basically, you're working as journalists, but really cute animal journalists, and you're trying to put together the front spread of the newspaper.
Oh, that's super cute.
Right? See, I knew there's like super cute animals, super cute art.
Google it. You keep talking.
So you have this real-time portion where there's a whole bunch of face-down tiles in the center of the table, and they're representing, like, the pictures that can go with news stories and the news stories themselves and also ads, different things. They're all color-coded to tell you what's what. And you're basically, you're going to grab one of those, flip it over, decide if you want it or not. If you want it, you're going to put it on your desk. If you don't want it, you're going to toss it back in the pile. And you're going to keep doing that until someone's decided that they have the right combination of articles and pictures that they need. Then I can't remember if you like hit a timer and everyone has to finish up really quickly. Can't quite remember. No, maybe you then just start throwing your newspaper together.
Oh, and it's cute. It's like a little tile laying game with cute little foresty animals.
Yeah, so then you've got a grid.
Really cute.
Your newspaper is this grid that there's certain rules you want to follow and you're trying to put together your newspaper. There's certain rules you have to follow.
And the little animals are dressed like they're in the 1950s in the States.
Right? And basically, you're under this rush to try and put your newspaper together and put things in the right spot. And it's just, it's super cute. And it's by Flat Out Games. So they did Calico, Cascadia,
okay,
Verdant, all the big hits.
Okay. I do love tile-laying games. I love general wildlife-themed things. The art's really pretty.
It's very cute. I'm guessing if you're playing the owl, then you run a newspaper called the Evening Hoot.
I would have to assume so.
Ugh! Fine.
I win again.
Well, no, you're not winning. We need to be a little bit more accountable and transparent and honest with each other. What other games have you backed that you haven't shared?
That's it.
Yeah, you say that. You often say that, and then I don't know
whether... Pretty sure that's it. Mm-hmm. That's okay. It.
Well.
Okay. So should we move into our top five? That's the number one speed game I'm excited for.
Okay. Well, I don't have an excited for speed game because I generally don't like speed games. So I don't really pay attention to them.
Okay. But so we'll just dive into our this is a shared top five list because we haven't played all that many. Now I will say to get this list, I could have just gone and looked, but we don't own all of them, and I wasn't 100% sure what counted. So while I was procrastinating, I went on BGG, looked up real time as a mechanism, and just went through every single game that was tagged with a real time mechanism, and wrote down the ones we played.
How long did that take you?
Not all that long. It's only 800 and some games.
That's a lot of games.
And most of them were like iterations of the same. So I scrolled fast.
Way to procrastinate.
It was fun. I liked it.
Okay. All right.
Anyways, so I will say there is one game that was tagged as real time that we have played that I did not include on this list, and that is Clask. Because to me, that's
a real life
dexterity thingy.
Honestly, if Clask was a part of the pool, I'd put that as number one.
Yeah, I probably would too.
Because it's so much fun. But you're right, it's not quite.
It's not what I was real thinking. Time,
but it's not quite like beat the clock. You're rushing through things. Or,
yeah, there's no. You're not trying to like. Use your brain to logic that's something.
Fair. Okay. So first, should we do first on our list and go down or like 5, 4, 3, 2, 1?
Yeah, let's go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Okay. So at number 5 is a game I haven't played. It's called Pendulum. I have no idea what that is. I'm guessing.
Oh, okay. Excellent.
Okay. Maybe there is like a metal ball attached to a string and that somehow you're swinging that pendulum back and forth and you have to do stuff.
I'm not sure what gave you that idea, but sure.
I don't know. Pendulum. I've never seen the art. I've never seen the game. Have. I have.
And you have looked at the cover. Forgotten. You've like, ooh, that Stonemaier game. That looks interesting.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Pendulum.
Okay, you look it up. I will talk.
Okay.
So Pendulum is, I think, has to be one, if not the only, Euro real-time game. It's been a little while since I've played it, so this will not be the best explanation or that detailed. But here we go. So in Pendulum, it's basically a resource conversion type standard Euro-y game. Except there's worker placement spots, but depending on where the sand timers are, you may or may not be able to place a worker there and may or may not be able to activate and actually take that action. So there's different colored sand timers all around the board. And as you're playing, as the sand runs out on them, you're flipping them to the other the other spot in that location. So the sand can run down again, which is changing whether you're allowed to, if you've put one of your workers there, whether you're allowed to take that action or place a worker there. And the different areas kind of are doing different things. And the ones where the sand runs out the quickest, of course, is the, you know, least valuable, all the way up until the most valuable actions. But that timer takes, 3+ minutes before you can flip it. It's long. And it's one of those games that gave me that flow feeling.
Oh, interesting.
And it's
so you weren't feeling like you were trying to catch up all the time. You were in it and you were managing the...
Yeah, you have time between rounds to kind of think and plan for what you need to do and what you want to do. And I know Pendulum really didn't get much love. A lot of people didn't like it. Oh. But I played, it was a 4 or 5 player game, and I quite enjoyed it. It's not something I would need to play all the time, but it was a very mindful and fairly enjoyable experience.
Pendulum.
A little hectic. Everyone's arms are flying everywhere and grabbing sand timers.
Yeah.
But not as crazy as some of the other ones we're going to be talking about.
Huh. Okay.
And it's not a co-op.
I did look at the art. My brain just doesn't compute how
the box looks and how it could be a real-time beat-the-clock game. So I feel like I just need to go and experience it.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's beat-the-clock or so much as you just got to maximize what you can do
within the time.
Within the time. And remembering to flip the timers and watching the timers carefully and knowing when you need to time putting your workers certain places. There's also some cards that you can do things with that I've forgotten, like give you little bonus actions.
No, it's so good. Is it almost like a literal Euro game slept on with a sand timer or not?
Yeah, pretty much.
Huh.
Runner Boy Forever has it. We can play it. That's, okay. Yeah, I played it at the alley one night.
All right.
So okay. Yeah, that's Pendulum.
Sounds cool enough.
Yeah, it was neat.
Okay. Well, number four is, well, I think it's a modern classic right now. Very mainstream. You could find it in most places, whether it's a game store or not. But it's, in my opinion, quite a good game. Bananagrams.
Yeah.
It's just Scrabble on cocaine.
And we had, it was actually a couple of our friends, our university friend yeah. and her husband, that introduced this to us when we were met up on a trip in New York.
Yeah.
And they play this very competitively.
Oh, yeah. So the first time we played, we were like, what the hell's going on? All I kept hearing was peel, 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 banana, peel, peel, banana.
Well, you wouldn't hear banana till the end.
Well, yes, but
oh, but that's true. Like, they were going so fast, yeah, the game would just, be over in
yeah,
like
yeah, yeah, in like a couple of peels.
Right. In case you don't know what Bananagrams is, as Sharon said, it's Scrabble on steroids. Everyone starts.
I said cocaine, but sure, cocaine and steroids.
Yes,
probably,
absolutely.
You could probably play it in a really slow, slothy way, but that's not where the fun is. Yeah, yeah.
So everyone starts with a certain number of tiles that they're allowed to look at. And the tiles look like Scrabble tiles, but like the very satisfying clicky-clacky acrylic ones. And there's a whole bunch of face-down tiles in the middle. And everyone's going to flip their tiles that they have in front of them. And then you just try and make like a grid, like a crossword-type grid of words. And they all have to be legal words, no proper nouns, yada, yada, yada. As soon as someone's used up all their letters, they're going to say peel. And everyone has to grab another letter and then integrate it into your grid. But unlike Scrabble, you can just trash your grid and start over again. It just all has to be one big grid. No spelling mistakes. All real worlds.
And sometimes words. Trashing it is actually a better option. The whole idea, well, not whole idea, but one of the best things that sometimes you can do in a game is not be overly attached to certain words.
Yes.
And being able to redo your grid so that all the words fit into that big word puzzle.
Because it's a race to use up all your tiles. Once that center pool of tiles has ran out or mostly ran out, mm-hmm. it's a race to who can finish their grid mm-hmm. and use up all their letters. Then you get to scream, banana!
It's just simple. It's a riff on an old classic.
Mm-hmm.
It was lots of fun when we were first introduced to it years ago.
I think the only problem with it mm-hmm. is you can have a serious advantage. Like, we don't play it with the two of us anymore because A, English is your second language. And B, like, I've done a lot of crosswords and stuff. So my vocabulary is bigger, especially for those weird little three-letter words. Yeah. And you're like, is that a word? And I'll be like, yeah, it's in crossword puzzles and no one ever uses it, but it's a word type thing. So I think I always have an advantage.
I think, and that's because you love crosswords and stuff mm-hmm, like that. Mm-hmm. But you do a crossword every night. But I feel like that's going to be a similar problem with any type of word games anyway.
Oh, yeah. So, often.
Really, yeah. Whether you're playing Scrabble, except whether you're playing Word Thief or Hardback, Paperback. Like, those are all
I'm really potential. Bad at Hardback and Paperback, though.
Interesting. Oh, okay.
I get frustrated. I'm not good at anagrams, which makes it seem like I shouldn't be good at Bananagrams. But because I can wipe it and come up with super short words.
I see. I know Bananagrams is literally a part of the words in Bananagrams.
I think because I know a lot of really short words, three or four letter words, but those don't help you in Paperback or Hardback.
Okay. All right.
They don't help you as much. So, I don't know. But yeah, Bananagrams.
Bananagrams.
It's been fun. Okay. Number three.
So number three, you had said a game, and then I'm like, I don't know if it's up there for me.
Yeah, so we have a split vote on this one.
That's right. So number three, that you put down was kites.
Yeah.
Which I was actually, because I've just heard you talk about it so many times, I actually recognize the name and I was excited to play it too. I enjoyed it enough. I just don't think it was a third place game for me. That's all.
Oh, so in kites, everyone is working together basically to put on this kite show. Mm-hmm. The kites are represented by sand timers. Mm-hmm. They're all different colors.
Mm-hmm. And representative of the different colors of kites.
Absolutely. And basically, you're just going around taking turns. On your turn, you're just going to play down a card from your hand. And your card is going to have one or two different kite colors on it. And whenever, whatever color you play down, you have to flip that sand timer. So pretty straightforward. And if you put down a card with two colors on it, you have to flip both of those sand timers. And basically, you just have to get through the entire deck of cards or as far as you can get without any of the sand timers running out. And that's the game. They throw in some more complications with, I can't remember what they were called, trouble cards or something that if you draw those into your hand, you have to play them the next time and they're going to mess you up a bit. Like maybe you have to swap cards or something like that. But overall, like it was very smooth. I can see a group getting really into it and just getting incredibly good at it.
I think for me, flying a kite seems like it should be a really restful, calming exercise. And that was not my experience.
Do you know what's ironic?
What's ironic?
I had a dream about flying kites last night.
Did you actually?
And it was a very...
Was it stressful?
Yes. It was a very stressful experience. I couldn't get it in the air.
Were you trying to get the sand timers going?
No, I couldn't get the kite in the air and the like string was all bonky and I was like trying to get away from it. I don't know. I'm just thinking about it's making me stressed again. So maybe it wasn't that calming.
So that's kites. I didn't mind it. Did I have fun? Yes. Was I itching to play it again? Not really. It was stressful to keep the sand flowing and
it's, I think it's funny how that one hit all of us because we were playing with a couple of our other friends and it's actually one of our other friends' games. And our one friend, like, poor girl, we just kept playing these like speed games. And she was not feeling it. She was getting so stressed. But for her, kites was, she's like, that was really, like, peaceful.
I know.
That one for her was, like, one of those flow games.
That was mindful for her.
Whereas the rest of us were, oh, my God.
I did not feel like it was mindful. Our friend just kept going, like, just keep going. Put something down. Put the red down. No, put the red and yellow down. And I'm like, I don't know what to do. I'm also very curious because it's also very much color dependent, whether it's colorblind friendly. I'm not sure.
I think it would be tough. The timers did have icons on them.
Oh,
and each color
yeah,
had, but
that'd
I
be so tough.
I think that'd be tough.
Yeah, to notice.
Because now you can't, you have to look at the top of the timer rather than just glance at the sand.
My qualm too is that the art seems so pretty and
I want to enjoy
the beautiful kites that they have on the cards and you don't because I'm just busy looking up at the top left or top right corner to know which symbols and what colors there were and trying to flip the stupid timer.
The theme may not quite fit the stressful nature, for us at least.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe they should have done it as a firework show, but then that's like Hanabi.
Oh, yeah.
Can't in a different that. Form. So maybe that's why they did it. I don't know. That's kites is number three for you. For me, I kind of went, I don't know if it's number three for me. And so I went again to an old classic, which is Dutch Blitz. I think there's
a very old classic.
And I think I chose Dutch Blitz because the speed games that I generally like involves either beating each other in the game and not necessarily controlled by a third party. This is a theme. I don't like co-op games where I lose to the game. I don't mind losing to other people. I don't like losing to the game. And I don't like real-time games where the game tells me how quick I need to go.
Oh,
this is, I'm starting to realize this about me. Yeah. And so for kites, it's essentially the game telling me how fast I need to go because, well, the sand timers, we have to make sure the sand doesn't run out. And for Dutch Blitz, it's a card game that really is a racing game that's dependent on the other players around
the board.
And Dutch Blitz is similar to a game I think called Speed. That's kind of like just a common kids game.
Oh, okay.
But anyways, in Dutch Blitz, there's four different quote-unquote suits of cards. They're just different colors. And you're trying to get rid of all the cards in your hand by putting them on these piles. I think it's probably in ascending order. I haven't played it in a little while. Mm. And there's piles everywhere. It's so crazy as everyone's throwing cards out.
Trying to get rid of them.
And Dutch Blitz is good. I do enjoy it. But for me, it runs a little too long.
Oh,
I get into it and I'm like, oh my God, this is so stressful. By round like two or three, I'm in it. I'm in the groove. I'm like, this is great. And then we keep going and going. And my brain is just like, no, that's too stressful.
You just get so overwhelmed.
Can't do that anymore.
I like how chaotic it is. I like how angry I get in the moment. I like all the screaming that's yeah, sure to come it is with good. It. And for me, that's mindful. You're just racing against everyone else.
Screaming and yelling. Very
mindful screaming. So sometimes when I list out these really just sort of classic games or just, I get a little sheepish because I'm like, it's not like new and fancy, but for me, it's a good game. It's a really mm-hmm. good game.
If you like speed games and you haven't heard of it, yeah. It is. Or you've just bypassed it because it's also in a lot of places and everywhere and looks it looks like it's from the 60s, which it is. It's worth trying and it's cheap too.
Yeah. Number two, definitely for me, was pleasantly surprised because this game you kept wanting
I've
to buy.
I've tried to buy this game multiple times.
It. Because it just sounded like it wasn't going to be that fun. And that game is Nine Tiles Panic.
Another cute little oink game. Mm-hmm. Although it's like double the box size this time. Yeah. And in Nine Tiles Panic, everyone has, shockingly, nine tiles. And each round, there's going to be three scoring criteria that are going to be flipped. And this scoring criteria. Basically, the tiles kind of look like Carcassonne tiles. They've got – a lot of them have roads going through them. Mm-hmm. There's also some houses.
Like intersections. Yeah. There's some houses. There are agents with little stun guns.
There's
like
UFOs.
FBI agents. Yeah, and aliens.
Yep.
Girls
hamburgers,
and boys.
All the things you'd expect in Carcassonne. And
and in real life too. Mm-hmm, just like floating burgers on the street.
Yeah, very common.
Continue.
And once the round starts – you've got those three scoring criteria, and they may be like the most hamburgers in front of a ghost or the most agents on your grid, things like that. And you're basically just trying to configure your tiles into a 3x3 grid, and these tiles are double-sided. Mm-hmm. So you're maneuvering them around to make a correct grid with your roads. So all roads have to be connected to another road, and all roads have to enter and exit your grid.
That's right.
And you're basically just going as fast as you can, trying to put together to maximize those three scoring criteria. As soon as someone is finished, they're going to grab the first finish token. Yeah. And they then flip a timer.
That gives you 90 seconds?
I think it was 90 seconds. Mm-hmm. And everyone else has 90 seconds to finish their grids or they're out for that round.
Right.
Which never did happen to us.
No. And then, again, it's a race. So really it's, the fastest to the slowest. You'll grab mm-hmm. the 1, 2, 3, 4. Is it just a 4-player game?
No, I think it plays up to 5.
5. Tiles. And those tiles are important because those are tiebreakers.
And a lot of the scoring criteria, you're going to tie. Mm-hmm. It mm-hmm. was pretty common in our game. Mm-hmm. We were playing a 4-player game.
One of the things that I thought would happen more common then, but it actually never really happened, is incorrect towns or cities. Mm-hmm. Meaning that if you violate any of the basic rules, so if you have a road that's just sort of out in the middle of nowhere, not connected to other roads, or that doesn't have the exit and entry from, I guess, outside of the mm-hmm. grid into your grid, that is technically an illegal city. And in those cases, you're absolutely not eligible to score anything at all. And I thought that with the panic, people would make more mistakes, but that had actually never happened.
Well, and I think if the timer, like when someone was done, if it flipped and you had like 30 seconds to finish, I think I would have.
Yeah.
But as soon as, I think I don't know that I ever finished first.
I don't know. I feel like the 90 seconds was really rather
kind.
Generous. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think the smart way of doing it, and I don't think in our game anyone did it, but as soon as the timers flipped and someone's already claimed the second or third and you know you're probably going to be the last person, I'd probably use up all my 90 seconds to just find the best.
I did try that the first round.
Oh, and?
I could not find a configuration. Oh, in the back of my mind, there was that panic going like, oh, what if I wipe this and start again and I can't make it in time?
Oh.
So I was never quite willing to completely wipe it.
Okay.
But yeah, you know what? I think if it was, if we played it, like just the two of us or if we had it,
yeah,
I would be tempted to make that a 30 second timer and see how that changed the feel.
Well, and I think that was actually a game that I wanted to play again because, you know, as a so new player.
Probably because I won and you lost, right?
Oh, did you win?
I don't remember
that you won.
Yeah, I won. Okay, well, that's probably why I wanted to play it again.
You were probably just not all that memorable.
Right, yeah.
Sure. But I wanted to play it again because as a new player, I mostly just focus, because there's usually three scoring conditions,
mm-hmm.
right? And I don't know whether it changes based on the number of players, but I found that I usually just latched on to one of the three conditions and tried to maximize
that's what
that.
I'd latch on to one and I tried yeah. to at least be able to score a couple of points on the, with this on the other one.
Yeah, so I'm just very curious if I, you know, get more comfortable with the game, how maybe the 90 seconds would feel like it's not enough time if I just played it with a different mentality than yeah. trying to maximize
maybe
all
it's about
three.
Pushing that because you often triggered. You will often finish first and triggered that timer, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I think I was just trying to get things done quickly and induce panic. That was sort of my strategy.
Well, I felt panicked.
Excellent.
It obviously didn't affect me, though, because I still won.
It was just a surprisingly good game. It was just
yeah,
like
it was fun.
Simple but cute. And again,
I told you
no
so.
Sand timer.
I tried to tell you so.
No, well, I mean, there's a
but
sand
there's
timer
a sand
with the 9 minutes.
But you're in control.
But you're
in
control
first part.
Otherwise. Yeah. So I quite enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I
good.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd buy it brand new, though.
No, okay.
I don't think. Fair but I think we rarely buy any games brand new now.
I've almost bought it brand new a few times, but.
Yeah. But it's a
fair
fun
enough.
Game.
Fair
yeah.
enough. I expect it might enter our collection at some point, maybe. Eventually, down the road,
yeah.
when I'm allowed to buy things again.
Number one.
Mm-hmm.
So number one, you had put this game down first and then you decided to put another game.
Well, so I was trying to not include games that you hadn't played.
Oh, that's nice.
But then when we ended up including one for number five, because we just couldn't decide, I figured, why not? If I could choose, this would be my number one. And, okay, well, let's just, what are the games?
Well, for my number one, it was Kitchen Rush 2.
The revised edition.
The revised edition. And it has to be the revised edition because of the way – of the art and also because of the way it introduces the game. Instead of having mm-hmm. everything come in all at once, it really allowed you to slowly step up and get good at the game. And it was just for a game that really is, you know, traditionally not something that I like, you have to beat the clock based on how much time the game tells you that you have – the way that they introduce all these little nuances made me really enjoy it. And I know we've talked about Kitchen Rush.
Yeah, we did a whole episode on it.
We won't go too much into it.
But yeah, Kitchen Rush, that version of Kitchen Rush, where it steps you up, it makes you feel like you can actually do it.
Yeah.
It just teaches it to you and it really gets me into the flow state and no other game. I think for flow state, Kitchen Rush Revised Edition wins for me, for sure.
But you also put down, can I reveal the other
mm-hmm.
game? You put down Ready, Set, Bet.
I did.
So tell me more about that.
So Ready, Set, Bet is, as you might have guessed from the title, a horse racing game. This was another game that Runner Boy Forever owns that
oh.
I played his copy. So he's got a solid game collection.
All right. All
yeah.
Right.
So in Ready, Set, Bet, basically you're going to be either there's an app you can use that's going to run this horse race for you. Or you can have one player basically just running the race. And how the race runs is kind of like Can't Stop. You've got all these horses lined up. The horse in the middle is the number 7 horse. So you're rolling 2 dice. Every time a 7 is rolled, that horse is going to move forwards 1 square. Then you've got, you know, flanking him, you've got six on one side, five on the, or six on one side, eight on the other, five, nine, etc. all the way. So you've got the horses lined up from 2 to 12. And of course, you generally know what the likelihood of rolling any of those numbers are. Like, you've got an idea of that. So where the game actually is in betting on these horses. So as the race starts, there's this huge board of basically just bets you can place. There's spots for each horses. The earlier you get in there, the better return you're going to get on your investment. Oh. You can get very screwed if your horse doesn't come in. If your horse doesn't come in first, second, or third win, place, show, then you will likely owe money.
Oh, that's not good.
You can double down on your bets. You can bet multiple times on the same horse. And you're betting, well, we played with the Iron Clays poker chips. Nice. So satisfying.
Like a live casino type of setup. Did you also play at our local bubble tea shop?
We sure did. And we were playing a full amazing 8-player game.
Nice.
So just imagine, we were using the app so we could all play. And so just imagine 8 of us around this not gigantic table, watching this race as it, and the app just kind of rolls the dice for you, and it's announcing, because there's some pre-recorded races. Oh. So you couldn't use them more than once because you start remembering them, but yeah. Like still, yeah. For us, it was because then he's announcing. Oh, it's actually the designer, that. The game designer, John DeClaire, announcing these races as they're happening. So you're rolling, it's like, oh yeah, there goes seven. Seven's off. Oh, we got a six this time. Oh, two. Look at that. Look at two. Oh, two's going again. And for certain horses, if you roll their number more than once in a row, like, they can make a bigger jump.
So as the app's announcing, is someone else physically moving the horse on a board? Or
if you're playing with someone who's running the race, then yeah, they'd be rolling the dice and physically moving the horse.
Oh, okay.
With the app, you're just looking at it. Someone had an iPad, so we were just looking at it on the iPad, and the horses are moving.
Okay, so you don't actually have a board of with a horse moving in the app version. You're just looking at the game.
No, you're looking at the app version has a board with the horses moving.
Oh, but it's on the screen. You're staring at the screen instead.
Yeah, okay. Because no one's controlling it. I have heard if you have someone who's really good at running it, that is the way to do it.
Oh, I could see that. Like a good announcer.
But yeah, in the first round, I think a couple of us had played before, but most of us were new. And we were like, ooh, I don't know. So basically, as this race is happening, you're throwing your bets down. You've got limited betting chips, of course, your color. But you're tossing those down. And as the game progresses, you're getting extra things you can bet on.
Oh my gosh. I'm already thinking about all the fun themed game days, like a little Kentucky Derby day where you have, you know, nice food, people dress up, and then you play this game where, you know, fancily dressed people are just yelling at the board.
Yeah, in the first round, we were, you know, relatively calm and collected. Mm-hmm. But then as people got the game, and you also then, in between rounds, you get dealt out these cards that can give you special powers. Oh. So now the things you can do are crazier. So there's a red, there's a red line. And once the third horse has passed that line, no one can place any more bets.
Oh,
okay. It's towards the finishing line. Okay. And so things would start getting crazy because, of course, the longer you wait, you have a better idea of who's in the lead.
Yeah.
But if other people have already bet on that horse, you're not going to get – the odds aren't as good. So – or you're busy. Yeah. You're not going to make as much money on it.
That's right.
But if you haven't – when that third horse crosses that red line, if you haven't used up all your betting tokens, you're kind of hooped.
Right.
But you also don't want to bet on the wrong horse because you might then owe a bunch of money.
Oh, catch 22.
Mm-hmm. And then they'll add in these extra spots like up top. It could just be you're betting that a red horse will win. And the reds are like the 7, 6, 8, so the more likely ones. Or you're betting that an orange horse, at least one orange horse, is going to come in ahead of a red horse. So kind of the more typical things. And there are some other ones going on at the bottom too. I can't remember. So there's, and it introduces those as you go through it. So you don't have to think about everything at once. It kind of starts you with just the basics, getting used to tossing your chips out on the board. Mm. And of course, only one chip can be in each spot. So with 8 of us, you can imagine the craziness of all of us shoving our chips at it. then more and more things for you to think about open up as the game progresses. And as we got more and more comfortable with it, the yelling increased and the slamming down of chips increased and the fighting over spots increased. And poker chips are getting passed out between rounds. And you can see who won big and who lost.
It really makes me want to play it. But again, this, do you feel like if you didn't have the eight people, that it would be just as fun if you only had a group of four?
I think it would still be fun with four or five.
Yeah.
I wouldn't play it at three.
Yeah.
I think five or six would be better than four.
Yes.
But I think with the right group,
yeah,
especially if you have someone running it and like hyping people up. Oh, yeah. I think it would still be fun.
Okay.
It was good. This is high on my list to acquire when I'm allowed to do such things.
It was good. I like our list. Mm-hmm. I think it's a solid list. The ones that didn't make the list that we own include Magic Maze. Do we have Pycnomania?
We do. Yeah, Magic Maze is good, but we've never found the right group. We always just end up getting vaguely frustrated.
Yeah, but it's just one of those games that I have a tough time letting go. Mm-hmm, of course, we have Escape Curse of the Temple. That's also a pretty good game.
We have actually let that one go.
I know. And I think for that game, when you're playing it, the rules just kind of get smudged a bit.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I guess, you know, just unlock and, you know, because your dice get locked and stuff. So we did let that go eventually.
It's good though. It's solid.
Also played Kitchen Rush's cousin, Rush MD, which again was a pretty solid game. It's just compared to Kitchen Rush, the revised edition. Kitchen Rush just...
It felt easier for someone to get left out in Rush MD.
Yeah.
Because there's all these mini games and it... Yeah, it was good. I enjoyed it. But for me, and the theme of Kitchen Rush appeals more.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Pictomania, I really enjoy it. But the problem with Pictomania, so it's a speed drawing game. Kind of similar to Nine Tiles Panic in that like a card's going to be flipped. And so you know what the theme is. And there's all these things under there. And you're drawing one of them. But you have to draw and guess what other people are drawing at the same time.
Oh, I remember that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and for me, the problem with Pictomania is as soon as someone finished, they started leaning over the table to try and look at everyone else's drawings. And as we all finished, we're all leaning over the table trying to look at other people's drawings and no one could see your drawings. So what I want to do with Pictomania, once we have the space, is set up big easel. So every player has this big easel.
So you can just look at
it. And you need a really big space. So we're going to make it like activity. You finish your drawing, then you start having to run around the room to other people's drawings. And then you pick up, because as soon as you're finished guessing everything and drawing, you grab the marker from the middle to, you know, say that I was first and you'll get some extra points from that.
Yeah.
So then you have to like physically run and go grab this big marker and take it back. So I want to add in some exercise to Pictomania. I feel like that's just going to, playing it in the backyard, like that's just going to take it that extra notch up and you don't have the problem of people leaning over their pictures.
Oh my gosh.
So that's my ultimate goal for Pictomania.
You want to just make it a bigger body-based activity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, look
forward to life-size Pictomania.
And then we also had Fuse on the list, which we played that one time in a board game cafe, mm-hmm. I think that was when I got annoyed with you.
Yeah, it is a solid, solid real-time game, but not for those of us who really need to follow the rules to the letter.
Yes. And I'm like, just go!
It slowed me down way too much.
Yeah.
I think I could get faster at it. Like, once I know it, I'd get fast, but that was almost a relationship breaker.
But there you have it. That's our top five list. Mm-hmm. I mean, we kind of sneaked in more than top five. It's
That's
more like
true.
A top seven list because we kind of
disagreed on things.
And
you hadn't played things.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
that's our list. Let us know. Agree. Disagree.
Do you enjoy real-time games?
Are there other games that you've played that are real-time and really should have been included in our list?
Because mm-hmm. like we said, we don't play tons of them. So we'd love to hear your suggestions.
And how can we hear these suggestions?
I mean, they can hear our suggestions.
Yes. How can they hear? Wait, no. I'm confused now.
No, I'm really messing you up.
Okay.
How can we hear their suggestions?
Yes, thank you. How?
Well, you can get in touch with us on Instagram that every week we say we're going to update and we never update.
No.
But we do check it. So there's that. There is also our guild on BoardGameGeek. There's good old fashioned email. We have a Discord that I also said I was going to be more active on and have been failing.
I think we just give false promises all the time.
But we'll try.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you love us or if you're like, yeah, they're fine, give us a 5-star rating on wherever you listen to your podcast. And if you're feeling extra magnanimous that day, give us a review, please. Mm-hmm. That way systems will know that we're actually a legitimate podcast and we'll try and, I don't know, help others that are also super into board games and quirky people talking about board games know that we have a podcast and they can, it's easier for them to find us.
Yes. Oh, I forgot the most important part.
What's
the most important? We have a correction.
We do have a correction.
From our, when we were talking about Drop Mix on our last episode.
Oh, okay.
It turns out that they are not continuing with Drop Mix. They lost the rights to the songs. It wasn't popular enough for to keep it going, basically, for them to renew those rights. So the app is gone. So if you find a copy of it, do not buy it because you can't get the app anymore unless you downloaded it before it disappeared.
Well, that's very silly. How about if you had, if you already purchased the game, but you changed a phone or whatever?
I don't know because you can sync it to your new phone. I don't know if that, I hope that app would come with it.
Oh, man.
I guess we're just going to have to hang on to my phone forever. And hopefully the app doesn't go completely buggy in the meantime.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, that is our public service announcement.
Okay. Well, it's such a fun game.
Sorry if we hyped anyone up.
But yeah, or maybe someone will just pick up the game and I kind of doubt it.
I kind of doubt it too.
As I was saying it, but here we go.
We can always be hopeful.
Yeah.
Also, you may notice that this episode is being released later in the week. We are going to give Friday morning releases a try, mostly because we procrastinate too much.
That's right.
And recording and editing on Tuesday night isn't working so well.
No. So like any good procrastinator, we've decided that we're not the problem. The problem is the deadline. So we're pushing it back.
Will that mean we're recording and editing on Thursday nights now? Probably. But we're going to give it a try anyways.
We're going to give it a good old college try.
Exactly.
So until then, until next time, happy gaming.
And stay gancy. Just